That's meek. That's what kingdom is. That's what seeking first the kingdom is. I told you I started this sermon last week, but I paused because I wasn't ready for it. We got to first find out in myself, what am I seeking? What am I content with? Is godliness with contentment truly what fills me, or is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, we could talk about a lot of hard things. I was reminded oftentimes of Hebrews 6. That's just trying to get these Hebrews to understand that we're saved by Jesus and we give it all to him. And he tells them, he says in verse 1 of chapter 6, therefore leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, leave those foundational things. Let us press on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of here's the elementary things. This isn't the meat, this is the elementary. Repentance from dead works, faith toward God, instructions about baptisms, laying on of hands about the Holy Spirit, the resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment. That sounds pretty meaty to me. But you know, you can get on things and miss the whole thing. When you start talking about finding the kingdom and giving all you have for it and what that means, that steps on your toes. It really does. It's not comfortable. So I tried to find me some steel-toed shoes today, but I didn't find any. You remember someone that we enjoyed, That's My King? You remember that recording? By Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. I also listened to him one day talk about preaching and what preaching ought to do. And this man is dead now, but he had quite an audience. He even had an audience with the president, I think. He's been to Washington, a lot of things. But he had ways to put things simple. He said, preaching is to stretch your mind, inform and instruct you, tell you the things you understand and stretch your mind to understand more things. He said it's to tan your hide, correct you, let you know what you need to be doing. It's to warm your heart. It's to inspire you with the message of Jesus Christ and that how there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And it's to provoke your will. And that's the hardest thing. It's to challenge you to do the will of God that he has for you. To provoke your will, that your will be changed into doing the will of God. How far am I willing to go? That's an interesting question. Well, here's how far you got to go in serving God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I love what Darren had to say at the table. But he talked about in third world countries, gold is water and having clothing and shelter. But there's something much greater than that. And that's the kingdom of God. And he's talking about in that sixth chapter not worrying about those things. And we talked about that last week. And he's talking about putting it in perspective and just be kingdom minded. And what Ryan has read for us. Here's what the kingdom is worth to us. The kingdom of heaven is like. Here's your parable. What's it like? What's the kingdom of heaven worth? It's like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, I want to tell you, there's excitement here. How excited are you about the kingdom of God? If you're not, you need your hide tanned today. You need to brought back to what the kingdom of God is about. In the excitement of finding the kingdom of God, he hid it again, and he went and sold what? It's worth it all. No matter what kind of challenge before you, no matter what you have to give up, no matter what you have to do, the kingdom of God is worth everything. One soul is worth more than all the world. He sold everything he had, and he went, he gave it all. Are you all in today? Are you all in with the Lord today? Again, Ryan read for us. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. Boy, I'm hunting the best. And when he discovered a pearl of great value, how much did he sell? How much did he sell? How much did he sell? Boy, you're not very convincing today. How much did he sell? That's how much he sold. Because that's what you are with the kingdom. That's how valuable the kingdom of God is. And that's what you are. You're all in. Did you hear what? Life is not fair, but didn't. Christ was all in, wasn't he? He was all in. How far are you willing to go? Well, you know, we think, but we just don't know how to think meaty. All we know how to think is very pablum. You know, we want to study the things we are willing to do and make sure everybody's got that right. We aren't talking about all in stuff most of the time. We want to tan the hide of people who don't agree with us on everything because we're doing it right. We have a way to boost ourselves even in our religious humility. Oh, no, it's bow down, it's all. A man, you know this, the rich young ruler, you know it, don't you? You've heard it, you've read it. A man came running to Jesus. Was he excited? You think when you run up to somebody and you say, man, I want it. He was excited. Man came running to Jesus and knelt down. Was he humbly? He knelt down. He didn't come in there and say, hey, there, Lord, I am a rich young ruler. I'm pretty important here, but I want to know what you got to offer here. I might change a little. Is that what we're willing to do? Change a little? Is that what the kingdom does for us? Or if we inherited religion as the Pharisees did and we want to practice it in a way that makes us outstanding in the world. How much are we in? He came running and he had the best answer. What must I do to inherit eternal life? How can I go to heaven, Jesus? Well, you know, we won't get into it. Jesus says, why call you me good? Only one is good, and that's God. And Jesus was God. But what must I do to inherit life? And he answers it. The answer to your question, to answer your question, you know the commandments. Oh, yeah, I know them, Lord. And he told them. He said, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, I've done all those commandments since I was young. I mean, that's why I'm here, because that's what I do. I'm a godly raised person, and I'm living godly. But he wasn't all in. He wasn't all in. Looking at the man, I want you to notice this. Jesus felt genuine love for him. That's why Jesus did what he did. He had compassion upon people and he helped them and he taught them. But he told him what he needed to do because his things meant more to him. He couldn't quite get all in because of his own things. You reckon any of us have any of those problems? Just can't quite get all in because of our own things. There's one thing that you haven't done. There's something more important to you than me. Go sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. come all in. When we ask you to come to the Lord today, we're asking you to come all in. And if you're here and you're a Christian today, we're asking you to be all in. We aren't playing because God's not going to play. We aren't proud because we've been humiliated by our sins. We aren't judging because we've been judged. We're saying we're all in. Man's face fell. Why? It was too much to ask. He was very religious. He was carrying on the religion of his fathers very good. But he wasn't all in. Jesus looked around at his disciples after saying this. He said, how hard it is for the person to enter the kingdom of God. You know, he said, it's hard to enter the kingdom of God. And it's not just whether you're rich or poor. It's hard to divest yourself of everything. It's hard to say, Lord, you're all. It's hard not to hold back. It's hard not to hold onto something that is more to you than he himself. This amazed them. But Jesus said again, dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Okay, Darren, you led us well at the table. I was there. It was meaningful. Do you call us rich people or you call us the people of the poor? You talked about third world. Where are we? It's hard. It's hard. It's difficult. It's more difficult than putting a camel through the eye of a needle. Make that a real needle or make it a little opening in a wall. Make it whatever you want to, what the Lord's saying. It's hard to be all in. Salvation is free. Everything is given to us. But you got to be all in. You got to, and it's not the richest. Abraham was rich. It's, are we all in? The disciples were astonished. They said, who then can be saved? Maybe if we picked out, and I wouldn't want to pick out, maybe we picked out the most outstanding guy among us and said, you know, this guy's got riches and he loves people and he does this, he does that, or this woman, whatever. And all this stuff, and then the Lord says, no, not all in. Not all in. I'm asking you. I'm asking you. I'm asking whoever you are today. Are you all in? If you were the person that came forward saying, Lord, I want in, are you the one all in? If he said, I'm all in. Are you all in? Or would you be one that say, oh, no, go on your way. I know you're a leader, and I know you've got royalty. I know you're doing commandments, everything else, but no, you're not all in. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. You can't do enough, you can't be enough, you can't have enough. But not with God. Everything is possible with God. You know what that tells me? We can all be in. We can all be 100% in. But it's going to be God's way. I mean, we're looking for the rich young rulers to be members of our churches. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for people who've been responsible and made it. And have... and honor God with their words. We're looking for those people. God says, I'm looking for people who will be all in. They'll be kingdom first people in everything. Peter then spoke up. We've given up everything to follow you. And they, you know, that's true. Peter says, we've given up everything to follow you, so we must be good in our poverty. Jesus says, no, I'm not talking about impoverishing people. Don't ever think I'm talking about impoverishing people. I'm talking about making people rich. No, you being all in makes you rich.
What?
He said, yes, you have given up everything. You're all in. And I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake and for the good news will receive now in return 100 times many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property. You're going to get a family that is big, along with persecution. And in the world to come, that person will have eternal life. I'm not talking about making you impoverished. I'm talking about blessing you with the true blessings. But many who are the greatest now will be least important then. And those who seem least important now will be the greatest then. That might help some people say, well, you know, Tom, I just feel sorry. There's so little I can give. You might be the most important. Because with your little, you might be all in. With your little ability, with your little talent, with your little money, with everything little, you might be all in. You remember the treasury and the widow, don't you, with two mites? She was all in, wasn't she? She was the greatest. It's all about the heart. Are we all in with the Lord? And there's a parable for that too. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seed, the seed sowing the seed. The seed fell on the footpath, represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it, and the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that has been planted in their heart. You know, it's just hard-hearted people that just don't have much spirituality in them at all. They hadn't been taught it. They don't care about it. And the world has just dulled their senses. They're not going to get all in. Satan's going to get that word quicker than you can imagine. Now, the seed fell on the rocky soil represents those people who get the message. And boy, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And they're baptized and they go on. And it's not too long till they just gone. But they just wasn't any depth to that faith. They really couldn't leave the past. They didn't have deep roots. They don't last long, and they fall away soon and have problems when they're persecuted for believing the word. Before we count them too black or color them too black in sin, we hadn't been persecuted. He's saying those people who have great joy but find the persecution that Christ brings to them, they don't get far. They're people just not really grounded in faith. They fall away soon as they have problems and are persecuted for believing the word. Now the seed that fell among thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly. They just get entangled in the joys and pleasures of this world, and they just can't be all in. They're too busy. The message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and no fruit is produced. I've tried to ask you why we're so busy today, and I don't have the answer for it. We have automatic washing machines. We have microwaves. We have cars that get us fast from here to there. We have so many things that I don't chop wood to heat my house. And the word can get crowded out by thorns. Got to see where I am right here. You got to find yourself. You got to find yourself, folks. The seed falls on good soil. Talking about the heart, man. So, you know, we're down to 25% of the people here, at least. You know, we are. And I don't know, it might be that God says it's 25% of a church. It could be. Could be that there's another 25% like the rich young ruler and another 25% like the people who had the Rocky. They just hear unless something bad happens or somebody offends them a little bit and then they're off and running. You could just get down to 25%. Somebody says, I don't think we're all in. I don't know if anybody's ever been all in, any group of people. I'm asking you today, are you all in? Are you all in? Now, here's how you know it. They hear and understand the word, and you know what? It does something. It produces fruit. It doesn't just produce argument, or it doesn't just produce condemning. It doesn't produce just doing this. It produces people's lives who are productive. 30, 60, and even 100 times more than has been planted. It produces fruit. Good hearts produce the harvest with the Lord. I'm not through. How far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go? I'm asking you. Somebody said, Tommy, quit calling me out. No, I'm not going to quit calling you out. I still got a few minutes. That's just the nature of the sermon. Sometimes you just need to be called out. Would you offer your son like Abraham? Are you that committed? Woo. And by the way, Rose, don't start getting more committed toward adoption because Tommy said we just aren't committed, okay? You're committed enough. And if you want 50 more children, okay. But... That was just something to lighten up a heavy sermon. Back up. Are you willing to give the reins over to God? Just like, you know, first thing Abram did, his righteousness was proved by his faith. God just said, leave your family and go. He didn't even tell him where he's going. He said, just go. I've got a plan for you. Just trust. Are you willing to just trust the plan of the Lord? Or if we go forward a little bit, Gideon. When you feel like you're the only one, or you're just a few against the many, are you willing to say, Lord, help me. We'll get through this. I think about Elijah especially. He thought he was the only one in Israel left. And the Lord says, no, I've got... He was surrounded by people. He didn't give up the boat. I mean, he didn't run. But he felt it. He felt the burden of the world on him. And it's funny to me how he stood up to all those prophets of Baal, slew them, and then Jezebel threatened him, and he ran off and got in the cave and just started crying, saying, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. God says, no, you're not the only one. You know what he did? That's the only thing he told him. And then he said, go get to work. Quit sitting in your pity and make a difference. Go get to work. How valuable is the kingdom to us? Sell what you have and for the brethren in Nigeria and Kenya. Would you be willing to do that? That was presented to you, and that was a need. Would you? I'm just asking. I don't know how to help all these brethren being slaughtered, but I know our spiritual, we've got a spiritual relationship and a spiritual obligation. Or we don't even think about it. Would you go there and encourage the brethren? I don't want to go to Nigeria. Paul would have. How far are we in? I mean, how far is where we are from where all in could be for some people? And for all of us who think, oh, there's just so much on me. Well, let's just get our minds cleared. And let's get to doing what we ought to be doing, and we'll probably divest ourselves of some of the things that's just busily kept us busy. And A.R. had some of that in his class. By the way, A.R. started his class on Sunday with these parables about, that's where all this started from, about the pearl of great price. And I just have to be honest. I'm tired of not being honest with myself. Man, if I deceive myself, there's no hope for me. I'm lost and undone, and I'll justify myself like the rich young ruler did. There's no problem doing that. I put tithe in parentheses up here because I know the Bible says they gave 10%. They gave a lot more. They gave their offerings, I mean, a lot of things. I know it accomplished a lot of things, but I want to tell you this much. Let me tell you this. I go in and get a cup of coffee out in Portland. First time I saw it, I think. They flip the iPad around and says, you want to pay 15, 20, or 30% tip for getting a cup of coffee. Friends, that has arrived, because I've been in restaurants that do that too. They don't go to 10 anymore. That's not even on the screen. If I'm willing to give 15% of my income for a cup of coffee, for service of man, what should I be giving to the Lord? And I want to tell you this. If you're not doing that, set aside for helping others, the needy, and giving to the Lord's cause and the preaching of the gospel, I'll say this to you. Look at me. Look at me. I'm telling you. You need to get your priorities straight. You look at me. You need to get your priorities straight. Because if that's not what it means to you. Now, I know that's not just what you put in the collection plate. But you set aside for the helping of the needy. He that works, let him labor with his hands, that he may have to, what? Give to him who is in need. Are you all in? Are you all in? How far are you willing to go? Teach a class or help teachers? You know, sometimes we can't find teachers. Well, can you go help a teacher? I mean, we're going back to baby steps now. And these are just, I mean, and I mean, just because we're doing things doesn't mean that our hearts are all in. But I want to tell you, if our hearts are all in, we're doing what we can. Now, everybody can't be a teacher, but you might can be a helper. Adopt a struggling saint, whether they're struggling physically or spiritually. Adopt them. Go to them. Say, I want to help you. Mentor somebody. Get outside your own life and help somebody else. Do it. Quit using all your energies on you and your life and go help somebody in need. It might not take 1 cent to do that. It might just take your money, your gas and a little time. Are you willing to go to all the groups just to meet and know your family? I'm just saying, if we're not, you just finally get down and you think, wow, what am I willing to do? You know, I've gone from Abraham's son and I'm just going on down the list. What can we do? And I want to find out what you're doing and I want to find out what I'm doing. That's why I had to preach last week on contentment. Because we are driven by discontentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Attend all meetings to encourage people and hopefully be encouraged. You know what? I come to church not the elders, they'll tell you this. I'm an elder now, one of them, and I meet with them. And more often than not, I talk about them. Well, y'all ought to be doing this. I hadn't quite got me in there yet. But they set up these times and meetings because we need to be encouraged. We need to learn. Well, if I'm not getting a blooming thing out of something, it's probably my problem, first of all. Secondly, I could help encourage somebody else. I could go hug somebody's neck that's just been beat up all week. Mercifully mention God in Christ to a lost soul. You know, when you've invested everything in something, what do? You talk about it. Don't you? If you invest everything into something, do you talk about it to other people? People know what you're invested in by how you talk. See, some of you talk about things so much that I know where you're most invested in. And it might, you might say, well, Tommy, I see the same thing with you. Yeah, I get around you and you talk about Auburn. I understand that. And I still love Auburn. But my life and my conversation should tell people that I'm all in. Now, if you're not all in, well, then you might not know. It might not rise to that level of I'm all in. Or are we so busy with our things that we don't have time, we don't have the energy, we don't have the money, and this is the worst thing, we just lose the will to do it. To rearrange our schedules, our goals, and to step out of our comfort zones. I told you better have on your shoes that's got some steel on the toes today. But you know what? This is the meat of the word. And if you don't understand what meat is, you don't understand the Lord. It's all in. And he'll raise you, know how little you are in faith, he'll raise that faith. He'll raise you. You start where you are. Okay, it's my last page. Y'all glad? Count the cost and freely give all to God in the name of him who gave all to us. We had a group meeting in our house, one of the first ones. I've forgotten the lesson, Adam, but and I had to teach it, and it was about being all in. I got everybody to get, you remember that, Greg? I got everybody to get in that room, and we all got around, and we put our hand in. I said, all that are in, put your hand in here. If you're not all in, stay out. And after a while, everybody was touching somebody, and of course, this is football porch, you know. And then it's going to be one, two, three, all in. If you're not ready, don't put your hand in. I think our group meetings have been a little better. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Let's do some soul searching this week, folks. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you came to see me. Let's examine our priorities and just how much we value the Lord and the doing of his will. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and let everything else fall in place. Have I introduced any new passages to you today? I don't think so. Has it challenged you today? If it hasn't, I want to tell you something. You got a rock for a heart if you're living in the same world I am. Because I'll tell you what, I couldn't preach this sermon last Sunday because I wasn't ready to preach it. I had to first preach on contentment and godliness. I had to first try to get my heart prepared to preach this lesson. And I want it to cause us to get back to simple things that just bear fruit for the Lord. You'll see the fruit that is born, folks. They'll know that we've been with the Lord. It'll be 40, 60, 80. We won't just be holding our own. Our lives will be changed. Right now, the last question for you. Some of you here haven't become a Christian yet. You can't be all in to your first in. Some of you haven't become Christians yet. Some of you haven't believed and been baptized for the remission of your sins. And that's what I want to ask you today. And what I want to tell you is that rich young ruler went away sad. But you know what? The Lord said, no, I'm going to give you 100-fold. He's going to bless us. You think people are happy on this merry-go-round we got going on this earth? You think people are happy? You think people are fulfilled? We don't need to become more like them. We need to become more like him. Simple, simple thing to do. He told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. That's your question today. Do you want in? Do you want in his kingdom? It's free. You believe and you're baptized and he receives you. He adds you. And you got a purpose for living, folks. I'm telling you, you might think I'm old, but every day I get up, I'm just fired up. Because I got a purpose, and the days are short. You do too. And if we can join together with one heart and one mind, and each do this examination, and let the Lord change our heart, people will wonder, wow, they've been with Jesus. We can help you in any way. Why don't you come right now as together we stand and